The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Eddie Johnson, who was at last night's Suns game, game number one, in trouncing Denver, using sportscaster lingo, trouncing. It was a destruction. It's a good old-fashioned ass-kicking. Although, start of the third quarter, Denver had a bit of a run going. But you know what? It just feels so nice to have. I think there's a whole bunch of factors. I want to talk to EJ about this. You know, Eddie Johnson's been the Suns analyst since 2001. That's 20 years of seeing great basketball, awful basketball, and now great basketball. So we do want to talk to him about the whole dynamic of what's going on. This is like a socioeconomic thing, and we will get into what took place in the court last night. But, you know, you go through a pandemic. At the same time, the team stinks. They go to the bubble, which, you know, was the bubble, and it was fine. But then they convince Chris Paul to come here, and he could have stayed at Oklahoma City. And now here they are, in my opinion, they're 11 wins away from a championship. That's how you have to look at this. You win four in this series, you win four in the next series, you win four in the championship. You just have to look at 11 wins. That's it. Not that hard. You know, there's, what, 20 games left. They have to win 11 of the next 20. And so I'm greedy. You know, that this is a little bit of hometown sports guy saying, yeah, I'm greedy, because you look at how they played last night. And, yeah, it's one game. It's at home. You're supposed to win at home. It's the opening game of the series. But you know what? I don't think fans want to hear that today. I really don't. When you go through the pandemic and the arena gets rebuilt, not just on the basketball court, but the whole arena. So fans are finally able to get out of their houses after being cooped up for a year. And they show up to watch a team that's really good after having 11 years of a team that wasn't good at all. And last night, I have to tell you, it's a lot more fun watching Denver play basketball than the Lakers. It is. It's a lot more aesthetically pleasing to watch the Nuggets play basketball than the Lakers. This has everything to do with the Nuggets versus the Lakers. The Lakers had dudes like Markieff Morris and Andre Drummond. You know, I watch Michael Porter hit some amazing shots early in the game last night. It's kind of fun to see Marcus Howard, who's over at Perry High School, and now he's playing for Denver. Aaron Gordon did some nice things last night. The Joker's an MVP candidate. How can you not love seeing great basketball? And the back and forth and in each other's face and all that stuff. But then it just came down to Chris Paul losing his mind. Mikal Bridges stepping forward. You know, when people say that, got to step up. No, he just stepped forward a little bit. He's been there defensively. He did a little bit more last night. This isn't about Devin Booker needing to score 46 points. It's not. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support as our title sponsor here at sports360az.com. If you're just finding us, we're Arizona-centric. I walked away from local TV in 2011. 10 years later, I would never turn back, ever. This is the way to do it. Control your own content. Eddie Johnson here in about 9 minutes. All right, so some other things on the win last night. Now, on the court, the 16-0 run and seeing so many different players do things in that run. It wasn't just about the scoring of the basketball. It was about the loose ball. It was about the blockout. It was about the extra pass. I'm not a guy that sits here and just goes through, this person scored 25, this person scored 24, and that's how they're able to win the game. No, it's much more complex than that. The beauty of the game is you have five guys working together, and they're able to box out and get the rebound or tip a ball or make a pass or save a ball or free flow and go back and forth to the point of a 16-0 run in a playoff series on their home court. That is going to get people jacked up. it was aesthetically pleasing to watch basketball. It wasn't slog along. And so, you know, the big question today is for many fans, at least going off my social and email, is the Suns going to roll through this? No, they're not going to roll through this. They're not going to roll through this. All that happened last night is what was supposed to happen. You win your games at home. The first time a team goes on the road and wins a game, then the series changes. It does. And so the pressure was on the Suns last night to win game number one. And early on, it looked like Denver was going to find a way. Now, Denver's not a bad team. Denver's a lot better than the Lakers. Younger, fresher, MVP candidate this year. It's a much better talent opponent. And so, you know, the easy things are to look at the box score today and see how well they shot. I tell you what, DeAndre Ayton, to be able to go head-to-head with the Joker and keep his foul troubles off to the side and not be out on the court, to see Devin Booker control his emotions and not be one that gets into officials. You get into officials, it means you don't feel like you can win on your own. Yeah, there's a certain amount of work in, but notice how this team has evolved, how it's evolved here in this postseason. Yeah, there was a lot of bitching and moaning and whining in game one of the Lakers series about the officiating and game two. And there's going to be blown calls. It happens. But somewhere along the way, somebody got a hold of Devin Booker and said, just stop. It's not worth the energy. Monty Williams talked about it in the Lakers series. So I'm watching last night, and I saw one play in the second half where he gave the, you know, rather than just go back down the court. Watch how Chris Paul handles it. DeAndre Ayton, the explosive dunk that he had and posterized Michael Porter Jr., that's not a play that we've seen out of DeAndre Ayton much. We've never seen that type of play in prime time. So nationally today, of course, they're picking up on that highlight. Nationally today, the Suns are getting more attention than they've gotten in the last 11 years outside of beating the Lakers in that series. The farther you go into the playoffs, this is key here. When you've been off the radar, for as long as they've been off the radar, which is 11 years, and you have a deep playoff run, all of a sudden, it's funny, my circle, all of a sudden, is starting to ask questions about the Suns. They are. And these are not people that eat, breathe, sleep sports. These are people that are doctors and lawyers and business people, successful at what they do, retirees. And they're all coming out now wanting to talk about the Suns because it's crossed over from hardcore sports fan into the masses, which is what you want. If you're the Suns now, you have people out there saying, I want to learn a little bit more about those yellow shoes Mikal Bridges is wearing. You know, campaign comes off. He's a fun player to watch. But, you know, I've seen Chris Paul in these State Farm commercials, and he's actually here in Phoenix. Did you know that? You think that people are all caught up in sports, and they're not. They're not. Until a team wins in this market, this is not Boston. I'm not going to apologize for that. That's why I love being out here. So you have the fan who's not been paying attention because there's been no reason to pay attention. The last 10 years, you beat the Lakers, everybody's going to come to life. Now you're doing what you're doing against Denver, you're going to have more and more people. This whole thing about bandwagons, people are busy. People lost their jobs. People got denied PPP loans. People lost friends, family in the last 12, 14 months. So let's not sit here and complicate the issue and get into the whole nonsense of fans and the fans are allowed on bandwagons and all that stuff. You know, just enjoy this. Just enjoy from where we were to where we are now. It's not that tough. Really isn't. A few other things today. I watched Brooklyn and Milwaukee last night. And all that's happened in that series is Brooklyn has done what they're supposed to do. Doesn't matter, they won by 49. Just an old-fashioned kicking. But they're up in that series. I am interested to watch Utah tonight. I am, because the Suns are playing, yeah, that's part of it. But there's just a different feel this year about the NBA playoffs. In the West, there are four teams that have not won. Okay, they've never won a championship. And so I want to see those four teams and see who is able to come out of it. And I feel like here in Phoenix, this team has as good a shot as any because they've got a Chris Paul redemption tour going on. If you don't think that's playing into this with Chris Paul, I'd argue with you on that. Well, he's been terrific. We'll talk with Eddie Johnson about his health and everything that he sees in Chris Paul's game out on the court here momentarily. The Cardinals are over at their facility today going through their minicamp, the Packers minicamp today. Aaron Rodgers did not show up for it. Mike Candrea retired yesterday as softball coach at the University of Arizona. And you may be thinking, Brad, really, it's the day after the Suns? You're going to weigh in on this? Yeah, I am. Because nobody's had a bigger impact on the sport of softball at the collegiate level than Mike Candrea. I had two daughters that played softball. Many of you play softball. The Softball World Series is on. It's great to watch. Mike Candrea coached the USA to a gold medal. Mike Candrea was there an awful long time. And U of A and the job he did there, he retired today. He'll be on the field at 12:30, I believe it is, over at Hillenbrand Stadium, and he will say his goodbyes today. Great run there. Tracy Smith was fired at Arizona State yesterday. This is no surprise. The Tracy Smith doubters, haters, whatever term, the old guard that still believes that if it's not Jim Brock or Bobby Winkles, that it just doesn't exist. And I'm not saying that Tracy Smith didn't deserve to go. He did. He was mediocre at best. He was great to the media. That's no reason to keep somebody. Okay, so seven seasons was enough. They showed him the door. Don Wakamatsu's name is out there. Those of you that are familiar with ASU baseball, I think he'd be a fine hire. I just don't know in this day and age if that's what it takes to get over the top is bringing back someone who has ties to the university. Are there other candidates that should be looked at? You know, if I'm in Ray Anderson's shoes, I'd make a phone call over to Andy Stankiewicz and say, are you happy at GCU? Come across town. I would. Stanky's been there before. All right. Oh, and the stinking Diamondbacks tonight. They haven't won a road game, guys, since April 25th. You cannot make this stuff up. April 25th was a long time ago. I might have had hair on April 25th. I don't know. But they play tonight in Oakland. Up next, Eddie Johnson zooms in with me. We'll talk about last night's win and much more with the longtime Suns analyst, the sharpshooter EJ. That's next. All right, as promised, EJ is with us for a couple of minutes, Eddie Johnson. You can find him at JumpShot8, the number 8 on Twitter. You can find him on SiriusXM NBA Today. Just because the local broadcast is not on, that does not mean that EJ is far, far away after the Suns win last night. How are you feeling the day after Game 1, EJ?
I feel good. I can take my glasses off now. I've seen enough of you up close with my glasses.
I hope it's a good shot, right?
No, I'm just kidding. But, no, look, I feel tremendous. I had a good night's sleep, you know, knowing the Suns came out and took care of business last night. What a tremendous team. I've been telling people this all year, Brad. They didn't want to hear me initially. I've been kind of low-key. I was low-key in the Lakers series, even though I had so much energy inside of me of what they were doing, because I truly believe this team has a bigger game plan, and the game plan is to get out of the West. I truly believe they can win the West, and I tried to caution Suns fans and not getting overly excited just because you beat the Lakers. You beat the Lakers wounded, okay? Do I think you could have beaten them if they were healthy? Probably. But we don't – you know, we're happy we won. But the goal is to win the West. And I think that should be the mentality of everybody in Phoenix. We've gotten so close so many times. You know, the little short-term goals aren't that important to me anymore. I've been around this organization too long to just get happy about a first-round win. This team is built to go to length, and that's what I'm ready for.
Getting greedy, that's how I put it. Get greedy. Nothing wrong with being greedy. And like you said, you know, the Lakers – you take care of business there. You've been the broadcast voice on one side since 2001, I believe. Yeah. And so 20 years of seeing this. When you see last night, and given where we were here in Phoenix and in our country, okay, so this is going towards the fans in the arena last night. It's like a perfect storm, EJ. You know, Arizona is one of these states that came open a little early. People get vaccinated. The playoff team hasn't done any. The team hadn't done anything in 11 years. So there's all this pent up. I just want to get back out into society. And I can get back out into society around a basketball team that we all know that when the Suns are rocking in this town, there's nothing even close to the sporting landscape than a Suns win. So I guess last night was as loud on television or what I'm seeing on social media and all that stuff. But the energy and enthusiasm that a fan base brings right now, if you could speak to that and what you're seeing.
Yeah, it was surreal. It really was. I was up in suite so you can get a better view of everything and looking around the arena. And it reminded me of the madhouse on McDowell. Mm. And I tweeted that out this morning. It's like I was sitting there and I was watching it and I was like, this crowd's unbelievable. I mean, they are really into it. And you're right. It's a number of reasons why. I mean, people are glad to get out and breathe and don't feel intimidated about what we had to deal with over the last year or so. And, you know, just to see the happiness and the energy and the release of frustration and all the things we've had to go through, not only as a country, but as a world, dealing with this pandemic, it really warmed my heart to see people dancing in the arena, letting go of their emotions. Yes. Just, you know, and that's what sports does for you. And that's why I always caution fans, especially on Twitter, and, you know, be careful when you, like, ridicule athletes or you get on them about stuff because they're your lifeline. Yeah. They're the very reason why when you get off work, and you're flustered and you're tired, you go home to watch them. They help you release that energy to make you feel good. And I just always caution people just to respect them to a point. And we had some incidences, obviously, during the playoffs with fans wanting to throw stuff. And I know it's only a couple of dummies that's doing it. But still, you know, because last night I saw so many fans just excited the Suns were winning, but also in a selfish way, excited that they're back in the midst of a bunch of people, you know, just in a crowd and you're looking left and right and then people all around you. As a human, you need that touch. You know, I remember that movie with Tom Hanks, you know, when he stranded on the island, right? And no one was around. And his best friend was Wilson.
You know,
just to get back and get away from that and enjoy life. That's what people did last night. And they did it supporting their favorite team. The Phoenix Suns, they're the firstborn of this city, always will be. All due respect to all the other professional teams that are here. You will never, ever, ever win over the hearts of this city more than the Suns will. And we saw that last night. We saw that energy, man, and it propelled this team because that third quarter early on didn't look good. Denver was getting ready to run away with this game.
Yeah, and one other thought on last night and just the fans, and then we'll move over to the game itself. I think a lot of people just hadn't been in the new arena. And when you walk in there, that place, it is a palace. It has been transformed. It's amazing. What I hear from people is, I didn't know there was all these new spots that I could go to. So I think there's some of that, too, where there's a newness and a freshness that adds to it here in Phoenix.
The architect, this Phoenix Suns arena, he needs an award. I mean, what he has done to this facility is simply amazing.
Yeah.
And not tear it down, not have to move. I think the Suns arena is going to be an example of all the arenas around the country. You don't always have to tear them down. You get the smartest people to work on it, and they can make a palace out of something. And that's exactly what they've done. What a tremendous facility, man. And I haven't even seen all of it yet. I mean, I've seen a lot of it. And just to see how you can move around and just the openness of it, and you walk in, every seat's a great seat. It's just a tremendous place. It really is. The only detriment is, and I always say this about fans, is your first purpose is to show up to the game to support your team. That means halftime, get your butt back out there. don't you know, the one disappointment I always have, and I understand, look, because the Suns have made the facilities around this arena so beautiful, right? The environment, the practice courts turned into a nice VIP club. I mean, you don't want to leave. You got flat screens all around. You just watch the game there and have your drink. I get it. But you came to the game to support your team, as they did last night at a high way. And it could be even better because there was a lot of seats empty to start that third quarter. And that's when the Nuggets went on a run.
Yeah.
That's when the Nuggets went on a run.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a good example is stay, get your butt back in your seat and make sure you're loud from the beginning of the third quarter so the Suns don't put themselves in that situation.
Eddie Johnson with us for a few minutes. You can find him at JumpShot8 on Twitter, SiriusXM NBA Today. You can find him in the afternoons with Justin Termini. A couple of things I'll get you out of here, and I appreciate your time. What is Mike Malone saying today to his team and to his assistant coaches looking towards game two?
Yeah, nothing. Hey, guys, we played a good three quarters. They got the best of us in the third. We came here to win a game. You know, in order for us to win this series, we have to win a game on their home floor. That's all. I mean, the first game was more important to the Suns than it was to Denver. Denver's goal is just to win one game in Phoenix. In a playoff series, that's how it is. You're looking over in the East, and look, the Brooklyn Nets have beat up on Milwaukee two straight games, and people are thinking, oh, it's over. Oh, they're going to sweep them. Really? We'll see.
Because yeah, that's what home court is for. Home court is for.
Going to go at home. I mean, so it's who wins on the other team's home floor. That's who gains control of a series. So the Suns can't think that they have a distinct advantage right now because if Denver sneaks and gets game two, guess what? They're going home for game three and four. Mm-hmm. So you have to take care of your home business, and that's what Mike Malone is saying. Hey, let's just get one. You know, fine. We'll sweep this one away. And that's what he's saying.
All right. So when you see the box score and you see all the double digits from the Suns and the balance – it's not about Devin Booker scoring 40-plus. And that's what struck me last night was, yeah, and Chris took the game over, but DeAndre Ayton stayed out of foul trouble. Bridges did his thing on both ends of the floor. There wasn't a player that I looked at and said, they didn't have a great game one. You?
No, that's been the beauty of this team. Devin is not the total hub. I think a combination of he and Chris Paul are the hubs. Mm-hmm. And everything circles around them. And these guys don't attach to their back and just hold on for dear life and say, oh, carry us. No, they detach themselves. Like Mikal Bridges detached himself last night, and he was leading the team. He was hitting big shots. He was going off the dribble. He was doing things. DeAndre, he's detached himself the entire playoff run. He's the most dominant player in that first round, and he went at Jokic. Didn't get in foul trouble, which is an amazing feat against Jokic. But also gave him numbers on the other end. That's how the Suns are going to have an ability to get out of the West if they can continue to do that. But they've done it all year. It's no surprise. I mean, these guys can play. They can play as a team. And then when they need Devin to step up and be out of this world, as we saw in the Lakers series, he can do that. That's the beauty of what Devin Booker has now. And I know he understands it. You know, that day and age of thinking, oh, this one guy is going to carry me all the way to the championship. It's not the case. It never has been the case. I mean, Michael Jordan didn't carry the Bulls all the way to a title. Scottie Pippen, if you look at the stats, in a lot of them final series that they played in, Scottie had better stats. So that's what I think people get fooled by. But this team overall, I mean, off the bench, you know, with Torrey Craig playing the way he's playing, campaign, Cam Johnson obviously has to step it up here, you know, and he will. I mean,
Dario did a few things I liked last night. Did a few things.
Just be relevant.
Yeah.
Be relevant. You don't have to be that Dario that got hot one point in time during the course of this season, went to LA and had a tremendous game. No. Just do the little things for your minutes out there on the floor. And that's what this team does. Monty's done a tremendous job of just giving all these guys life and a confidence that they can go out there and help the team, despite when they get called on. And that's the beauty of this basketball club.
Last question. In your view, just your view, and we can look at the numbers that Chris put up last night, is he 90%? Is he 100%? Is he 80%? And what do you make out of him in this postseason and the grit that he's showing?
If he's 90%, Brad, then he's just as healthy as every other player right now that's playing.
Right.
I mean, this game takes a lot out of you. And a lot of injuries are publicized, and a lot of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it depends on who you are and if somebody saw it and, you know, if it was so drastic that you couldn't hide your pain. But if you watch, I always tell fans, watch the game off the ball. You see guys get hurt all the time. They just shake it off. And they might shake it off and you'll think it's nothing, really. Then they go in the huddle and their fingers swollen. Mm-hmm. Just don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. But Chris couldn't hide his because that was a spontaneous hit that just had him reeling. But we saw how tough he is. Didn't miss any games. Continued to play through it. So most players, if you're 90% this time of the year, you're healthy. I mean, that's just the beauty of the marathon. It's a marathon, and whoever's not a 10K, it's a marathon. And the guys who get through it doesn't mean that don't get through it don't mean that they're weak. Anthony Davis is not weak. I mean, LeBron didn't ask Solomon Hill to fall on his ankle, right? I mean, it's just the track that you have to try to stay on, fight through an injury, and keep battling through the entire marathon and win. Last year, the bubble was like an injury. I mean, teams mentally had to get through the fact that if they won a title, they would have to be in this facility for 100 days.
Yeah.
And the Lakers were the last team standing. It is just, can you get through it? And that's the beautiful part of the NBA. That's why I hate for people say, oh, they need to cut the schedule down. And, no, they don't. If you cut the schedule down, then the best teams will win every year. The advantage for the teams like the Suns and everybody else that's trying to grow is that they're young, they can stay healthier, they can recover faster, and that gives them a better chance to beat the better teams. And it was no big example than the Lakers and the Suns in that first round. Suns got hurt. Chris Paul was still strong enough to keep playing. Anthony Davis had to miss games. It's the difference.
Yeah.
And then so that's how you look at it, man. And so it's not over, but strong will survive. And I guarantee the team that's the strongest will win.
You sound fired up after last night. And I feel good for you. And I've told this to Al, too, that when you sit there for 11 years knowing how great the franchise was, and you're going in there night after night, banging your head against the wall because you know you're going in to analyze a game that's going to be a blowout or just not pretty. And now you see that they fought through it, and it's got to be for you a lot of energy and make you feel good that you fought through the adversity, because it's not easy being a broadcaster with a losing team. I've been there. It's horrible. It's the worst.
Yeah, it's not. It's not good. But, you know, what gave me the energy to get through these last 11 years is just the success that we had before that.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's
right. And then it's the love of my job, for one. It tests you. I mean, everybody's tested and as an employee of some company or somewhere that they work. And you have to keep giving the professionalism. You have to keep believing. Yep. You have to take the short-term steps and look at it that way. And yeah, it's been difficult. It's more difficult because you got to answer questions, right? And then everything else is blown up. It's magnified, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm happy for Sarver, Robert Sarver. I really am, because he's gone through it. And you know, I know he would admit that it was a learning process for him. But what he has done over the last few years. You know, that's the part that gets me with sometimes is like, okay, you can get on somebody for maybe the mistakes that they made, but what he has done over the last year during this pandemic has been simply amazing. Building that practice facility and fighting to re-energize this Phoenix Sun Stadium and get it redone is what the city needed and what this team needed, what this organization needed. It's brought a difference. So, you know, you move to a new home, you energize. I mean, you know, I just got me a new Tesla, man. I didn't care about driving cars now. I love driving that electric vehicle all around. You know, I'm like a little kid again, you know. And so I get it, man. And so Sarver's made life very appealing and enjoyable for a lot of people in this town now. And it's not what you've done in the past. It's what you've done lately. And from Robert all the way down, James Jones, and putting this team together. for Monty and how he's taken this team and molded it and gotten them to focus. To Devin Booker, who changed his game. You know, he didn't have to. He could have kept fighting. He could have kept being ultra aggressive. He's giving in. He's trusting his teammates. To Chris Paul for deciding to come here, seeing something good in this team, even though he was on a team in Oklahoma City that surprised people last year. To DeAndre Ayton, who's taking the criticism from me and everybody else, the teachings from Monty, from Chris Paul, Devin. I mean, and look at him now. Now he's starting to understand, you know, what people are saying. It's all the way down. And then most importantly to our fans who've been lying here patient, really, you know, tough to go out, you know, dealing with the losing. And now they're back and they're happy, they're excited, and it makes you forget about the last 11 years. So everybody from the top down to the bottom has a part of this. And let's hope it continues.
That's a great way to put it. And I'll end off that. I appreciate your time and insight as always, EJ. Stay well, stay safe. Thanks.
All right.
There's Eddie Johnson with us. And we're back with more after this timeout.